Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Is Innovation Day. It's not easy to innovate, but it becomes more critical, more essential during unpredictable times. Joining us right now, South African venture capitalist, global business speaker, entrepreneur, founder and CEO of My Growth Fund, Vusi Tembakwayo. Vusi, it's been too long. How are you?
It's been way too long, my brother. I miss our catch up, so we need to have one very soon, but by the grace of God, I'm very good.
Good, excellent. Strange and difficult times. Obviously, for the last year, today is Innovation Day. It's a focus on innovation through unpredictable times.
My thought is that it couldn't have come at a more important time, at a more pressing time. One of the things we've learned about ourselves over the past, say, 10 months has been that actually even those of us who thought we were not good innovators, who didn't see ourselves as the purple hair wearing kind of earring studded tattooed guys who are doing all this innovative stuff, we too have to innovate. And what we're learning about innovation actually is that it requires nothing more than looking at the same thing in a different way and approaching the same problem in a new way. And so I think it's really, really important for everybody to just start thinking about how their lives have changed. Those of us in business to think about how our customers' needs have changed.
Vusi, I'm getting messages that people are battling to hear you. The line is not a great quality. I'm actually going to try and call you back because we obviously do want to be able to speak to you. I'm going to try a different method. We have been struggling to get hold of Vusi this morning, but I'm actually going to give it a shot this way. Let's see if that isn't any better. We are chatting to Vusi Tembakwayo. He is a global speaker. He is an innovator, and we want to get his view, his approach to innovation. Let's see if this is any better. Vusi, let's try that. Vusi, are you with us?
This sounds markedly better.
Absolutely. All right. So take it from the top.
Yeah, so what I was saying was, if there is anything we've learned over the past 10 months, it's been that all of us actually, regardless of what we do and where in our lives we are, what profession we're in, if we're still professionals, all of us have the responsibility to innovate. And we had to innovate in different ways. We had to innovate around how we engage socially. We had to innovate around how we construct and build our relationships, particularly with the people who live at home. You have to when you're in lockdown. We then had to innovate around how we run our businesses, how we engage with our customers. And most importantly, I think from a business perspective, we even had to innovate around fulfillment. So the idea of doing business online wasn't new. I think what's been new for most people has been fulfilling the business, what we call fulfillment in the tech space, online. And so there's been a whole host of things around innovation, but I think the most important message for me has been all of us, each and every single one of us, has had the responsibility to innovate in some shape or form to survive the past 10 months.
And it's not just at work. It's in our personal lives as well, isn't it? It's in every aspect of our lives. We've had to re-look at how we're living our lives and say, how can we do this better? Because there are certain circumstances that are now being curtailed and things that have changed.
At the end of the day, and I remember having this conversation with my own team. I said, it's going to require of us that we see old things in a new way. It's also going to require of us that we approach all things in a completely new way. So that, constructing relationships. If you're a family person, which I am, for instance, we had great difficulty during lockdown around making sure the kids were constantly active, that they were moving, playing, that they were exerting themselves in a physical manner. Because if they don't do that, they don't get the stimulation that they require, and that affects their development. So we had to, as a family, really think hard around how do we do that. And that required some innovation. It required changing one or two rooms in the home and making those rooms more engaging, more appealing to the kids. And it starts there, and it goes all the way to, our firm. We have, I have board members who are all over the world. The chairperson of my board is in Abidjan, for instance. Mm. And it was around how do we engage and meaningfully engage, still get the insight that I require as a leader in the business. Because I also have to tell you, this has been, for me personally, the most harrowing 10 months of my professional life. We've had great success, but it's been very, very difficult. And were it not for their leadership and guidance and foresight, it would have been very difficult. So it was curious that at the time when we were told to distance each other from each other was actually at a time when we needed each other the most, and we had to be innovative around how we get what we need without compromising ourselves and our health.
So how did you do that? Because I think many of us have had a harrowing experience, you particularly, because I remember chatting to you towards the beginning of the whole lockdown story, and all of a sudden your diary was cleared. You were meant to be around the world presenting, talking, motivating people, and suddenly you were housebound.
That's right. I was supposed to be on tour. I had a global tour. I was going to be in Western Europe. I was going to be in Asia. I was going to be in North America and the Middle East. And, you know, very lucrative. This was built into the business plan. We had already collected some of the revenues up front, and we had budgeted for those revenues to go into parts of the business. We had to cancel those shows and had to refund. So I was a couple of million in the red. So that was the first material part. The question you asked was how. I think the first thing is to recognize what the factors are that are affecting you and which of those you have influence over. A lot of us, I think, stay in the state of denial, the presumption that we can change things we can't, that we have power over things we don't, and that we can determine outcomes that we cannot determine. So for me, it was just a surrender to the moment. It really has been a great moment of wisdom for me. It's just a surrender to the moment, the recognition that there is a far greater force at play, and that I, like everybody else, am in a process of tutelage that I'm learning. So the first was just admit to the forces at play. And the second was we stress tested a lot. So we stress tested our business model a lot. We looked at cash flows, free cash flows, revenues that we were forecasting, and we made the worst and most harrowing assumptions. And then how long could we survive in our current state? And then we looked at what is the actual bare nature of the business and what should that look like? And then we made the changes we needed to make. So we called some people, we retrenched a few people, we put other people on contract, we kept the core team, we outsourced a lot, so we've got a lot of work that's now outsourced, a lot of people sitting in the rest of the world who are doing work for us, particularly work that they can deliver online, creative work, drafting work, writing work, design work, that type of stuff. So we have to do all of that. And then the most important, and I cannot stress this enough, is I got front and center in the eye of the storm. And what that means is this. My mother used to say to me, no matter how fast you run, you will never outrun your problems. So I had to get front and center. Every single creditor, every single supplier, every single difficult conversation, I didn't wait for them to start the conversation. I initiated that conversation, came up with a plan of action, and then made sure that we were meticulous with our word, that what we committed, we would do. These moments are moments of learning. But if there is one thing I've learned over this time, it has been this, that nobody is an expert at something that's new. All of us were learning. All of us were making mistakes along the way. But it was a revelation of character. Who you are was what sustained you over the past 10 months.
So you had to really, really go back to the basics and examine what's important, what's of value, what's important. And I mean, I don't like the word cull that you've used, but essentially that's what it is to cull everything around you that isn't that, in order to understand how to move forward at an unpredictable time.
Absolutely. And it really is, you know, let me put it to you this way. The reason I use that word quite specifically, and I talk to my own team about this, has been that the revelation for me has been that actually a lot of what we bolt onto our lives is ego. It's not necessity. It's ego. So,
for sure.
So it might
absolutely
be the, it might
right.
be the, you know, it's the way we're operating, like the things we convince ourselves we need because we have the resources for those things. And so for me, the first thing that I had to cut was my own ego. Let me tell you, that's tough. That's tough.
That's incredible. Is that why you went off Twitter, as a matter of interest?
In part. I mean, the first time, you know, I got on Twitter and I want to say, kind of the late 2010s, probably late 2010, early 2011. So I've been on Twitter for about a decade today. When I first got on Twitter, I went on Twitter because of the quality of people I could engage with. I found how Howard Feltman, the Kelly Galapagos, those kind of people that you could chat to, have deep conversations with, people who would publish a thought in 140 characters that left you going, wow, that's interesting. I've never seen it that way. That was, for me, the premise of Twitter. over time, what I found is that the moving average of conversation on Twitter has drastically deteriorated. It's become this insidious cesspool of attack, of destruction, and of negativity. And you, the question you ask, the answer to it is yes. When you're going through the things that we were going through, you don't have the emotional capital to waste over a tweet written by somebody in a part of the world you've never been, who doesn't know you and has no exposure to your lived experience. And then, so for me, it was really just about control the stimulation. Because if I'm going to be a balanced, centered human being, if I'm going to do the best I can as a leader to lead my people through a difficult time, then I can't allow stimulation that takes that away from me. And so it was that. And it's been, I have to tell you, by the way, the first week I did it, I had the most peaceful sleep I've had in years. I shouldn't admit this publicly, but I am one of those people who takes sentiment and comment very personally.
Twitter really isn't a good place to be.
Yeah. So it's been great. It's been great. And my phone is constantly bombarded. I'm told at some point it was trending, bring Vusi back or something. But,
yeah,
you know, I've moved on, and I'm comfortable and happy with the platforms that we're on. We're still on the other social media platforms. I'm on Clubhouse now. I know that we're following each other there. So, you know, for me, that's really the spaces where I'm choosing to focus my time and attention.
So it really has been for you, which is so interesting, examination of who you are, what your priorities are, and where your energy should be. And that's sometimes is a very hard and sometimes very painful process to go through. I've certainly been through that in my own life, trying to look at where I was when I wrote my first book, who I was, and realize I actually didn't particularly like who I had become and what I was presenting to the world. But what follows is a very painful period. As you strip away some of those things, you have to show extreme vulnerability, more to yourself than anyone else, in order to be able to find a way forward. Is innovation always painful?
Yes. yes. I think the types of pain are different. I think the levels of pain can be measured. And I think how you absorb that pain is something you can give some thought to. But no doubt, the reason people don't do it is because it is, the word you use is pain, the word I use is discomfort.
Mm.
So it is an uncomfortable process, right? We do what we do and habitually do what we do, even in the presence of evidence it doesn't work, precisely because it is uncomfortable to innovate, to do things in a new way. It's also, you know, as I said to a client the other day, that when the context changes, competencies don't translate. So when the context of how we're operating changes, then our competencies don't translate. And the reason human beings don't like to change and don't like to innovate is because we come into a world that teaches us competency as a skill is the most important thing. So you learn, for instance, how to present on stage in front of 1,000 people. Let me tell you, the first time I had to do virtual keynotes, it was a harrowing experience. It was really difficult. In my world, when you're standing in front of an audience, 80% of the theater is the chemistry between you and the people in front of you. It's seeing the glimmer in their eyes. It's hearing the chuckle, the laugh, the cough. It's watching somebody laugh uncontrollably, not able to catch on to the content. It's watching them pull out their notebooks and write stuff down as you're presenting it. That's 80% of your ability to deliver. And all of a sudden, that 80% is gone. You're now talking to a screen with human beings at the other end. They've all been asked to mute themselves. And you're looking at yourself on a Teams or Zoom or StreamYard set, but you can't really see them. And so you have to, I found, have to orchestrate that theater in your own mind. You have to imagine it. You have to create it. You have to hear the roar of their laughter in your head as you deliver that punchline to that joke. And you have to pause at the moment that you know on material. Slow down. So all of us have had to learn new competencies because the context has shifted. And this, I suspect, is a big part of that discomfort.
Absolutely, absolutely fascinating. Vusi Tembokwayo, we do need to leave it there because unfortunately the line isn't a particularly clear one. So we're getting messages from people listening all around the world. Rene saying I agree with everything that Vusi says, so evolved as a human being. Lots and lots of messages, Vusi. Thank you for that, talking to us on Innovation Day. I would want to have continued. Unfortunately, it's not that clear, but we're going to make a plan to get you back so that we can continue this conversation.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.